Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. Each week we dive into powerful messages that help us understand how God's Word is still relevant, offering wisdom and guidance for navigating the ups and downs of life. If you're looking for practical and inspiring biblical teaching, make sure to subscribe so you never miss a message. No matter where you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Let's jump into today's message.
But this weekend, if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. We want to talk to you for the next little bit, just from the simple thought, three simple words, get over it. Look at your neighbor and say, get over it.
Get over it.
Look at your other neighbor and say, I don't like that person. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're a friendly church. But this weekend, we're going to talk about just getting over it.
That's right. And what is it? Okay, there's so many it's that happen in life. And what are some it's that get in between a relationship? Some things that come between a friendship? I'm talking about hurt. I'm talking about offense, pride. What are some things that we need to get over? You can shout it out if you think of something good. Tell me. I want to know. Temptation, your pride. Somebody said their ex. Come on, amen.
I feel like that hit really hard. Somebody just said hallelujah. I feel like my man's on the way.
She woke up and she chose violence today, people. Okay, your ex. There's things
I feel
in
like
life.
This is mine. I don't know which one I put up there.
We just have to get over
Gotta
it.
Get over it.
And everybody, we understand that there are some things that you can't just get over on your own. There are some things that build up between friends, between coworkers, between a married couple, between families. And there are some things that we can't do on our own. There are some things we can't break down on our own. We need God's help to break it down. Hey, I can kind of see you a little bit.
I was going to say, I kind of feel like a kid building with Legos right now. Like, I feel like something's come between us. But I remember a pastor friend of mine, and I was going through something. You ever had anybody do something that really just hurt your feelings? Like, yes, feelings are fickle. And somebody had texted me something like, I can't believe you did this, and you should have done that. And I'm like, hey, you should have asked me, because I actually did do that. And if you would have actually had the conversation with me, and I just started being just hurt and confused. And I think maybe we've all had something like that happen. And I went to a pastor friend of mine, and I was like, I just want to vent to you. I just need you to hear me out. And he's like, okay. And I get like 30 seconds into it, and he's like, hey, Austin, I'm going to tell you this really quickly. I hear you. But he, again, told me three simple words. Does anybody know what those words were? Get over it. And I was like, I called the wrong person, okay? Like, the right person was going to hear me out. And he said, no, you called the right person, because I'm not going to let you stay there, because, yes, feelings can happen, but you have to move on from it. You have to say, hey, to fully heal from this, I let go of my ability to explain, my ability to say, no, this is what really happened, or this is what I did. And, you know, and so when we think about that, there's things that all of a sudden can come up. And if I never really dealt with that, it's amazing, Jim, if you think about it, is so many times you've been in a relationship for a friendship and you're like, it just feels like something came between us. I don't know what it is. You over there, girl? I think I can see you.
I can see you right here. We can still connect on some level. You know what I mean? I can touch your hand right there.
It's good to see you.
But so many things build up. And at first, when they're small and they're down here, you can still hop over it. You can still find ways to connect, but there's still something that's in the middle. But eventually, those little things, they compound. Yeah. Those little things add up. And eventually, this wall can get so big, there's no getting over it.
Yeah.
And so that's how separations happen. And that's what the enemy wants to do to us. He wants us to feel isolated and alone. And God has created us to connect.
It's so good. In Proverbs 18:19, I want you to write this down. In the NLT, it says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. And that arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. In the CEV, it actually says it like this: making up with a friend you have offended is harder than breaking through a city wall. See, it's not just about fence, pride, hurt, frustration, somebody left you, and please, we don't want to minimize. There are some things it's like, man, you don't know what's going on in my life. I just can't get over it. They left me, the betrayal, the divorce, maybe the miscarriage. Yes, we're not saying just get over it. We're saying you have to get over some things that the enemy meant for bad. Come on, does anybody believe God can turn it around for your good? He who promises faithful, he didn't take you there just to leave you there. If it's not finished, it's not final. He's not done using this story. Don't allow what the enemy has brought in to try to block you from the blessing, to block you from relationship, to really get you in isolation, because what can happen is offense so many times, it isn't just emotional, it's architectural. And here's what I mean. All of a sudden, something can be built up, and it like feels like, you ever feel like you get separation from somebody, a friend in a relationship, maybe at work, and you're like, where is this tension? Where did it come from? It came up out of nowhere, but really didn't come out of nowhere. It was actually placed brick by brick or step by step. And so what's going to happen is to actually break this thing down, it's going to take the same thing. It's going to take time. We're going to have to take it little by little. Come on, anybody with us today at every location?
It's so good. And we don't get to determine the size of someone else's feelings, someone else's it. So sometimes it can feel small to me, but it feels like a big deal to him or to a friend. And so whenever we say things...
Like when she tells me I don't know how to dress. Y'all, it still hurts, okay?
I do not say that, first of all.
No, for real, though. Like one day she was like, you wear nothing but the color black. We got to bring some color to your wardrobe here. And all of a sudden, next thing I knew, I had a whole wardrobe that showed up. And I was like, man, look at this. I don't even have to think anymore. This actually was a blessing in disguise. Come on, somebody.
Well, it can sometimes feel small to one and big to another. Have you ever done this? When something happens and you get upset and you just say, it's not a big deal. You know what? It's fine. Well, what we're doing, there's a study and it's actually called emotional minimization. So what happens is we begin to minimize our own emotions. We start to belittle our situation as a defense mechanism. It's called emotional minimization. It's downplaying as a defense mechanism. It's a way that we protect ourselves. And sometimes it's a learned behavior, because a lot of us grew up in an environment where emotions were maybe dismissed. Or emotions were invalidated, not because the person was, you know, a bad person, but they just didn't know how to handle our emotions. So we don't get to determine the size of it. We don't get to say, hey, it's not a big deal, okay? Why are you so mad? Why did you make this such a huge thing? Well, the person in their heart needs help getting over it. They need help in communication to process through it, to work through it, to break it down and to remove it.
You know what I love? I feel like things are no longer between us.
The only thing that's between us is Jesus.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're going to have to move him out of the way this afternoon. Anyways, what am I doing right now? Point number one, let's get back to the message. If you want to write it down, is it simply the title? It is Get Over It. And sometimes, as Morgan said, what is it? It could be a comment, an expectation. It could be a moment that you didn't know, someone didn't know that they hurt your feelings. But I love this. Proverbs 19:11 says, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Amen. So many times we can't always handle what somebody does, but we can handle how we handle the way we act, our reaction, what we carry from today into tomorrow. Come on, what we carry from today into lunchtime. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no bitter root grows up. That's what can happen is bitter roots. What I really think that means is it can come in, but we can't let it take root. We can't let it continue to build. Our job needs to be that we are wall destructors. We are building that down. We are destructing this thing. So we don't allow that offense to get up. We say, well, I'm just protecting my heart. Nobody's ever going to do that to me again. No, what we're saying is the scripture says to protect your heart with all diligence, because that's where life flows. It does not say to wall up your heart. There's a difference between walling up and protecting. And when I think about that, I think about, is it a problem to solve? We were talking about this the other day. Or is it a tension to manage?
Yeah, in every relationship, in every friendship, every family, there are things that come up, and some of it is a problem to solve, and some things are a tension to manage. In our home, just speaking personally, the phone. The phone is attention to manage because we need our phones. We need our phones every day. We need our phones to call our loved ones. We need our phones for GPS. Can I get an amen? Anybody in here with me? But we need our phones. But sometimes our phones can cause us to not live in the present with our loved ones around us.
I feel attacked right now.
So we have these conversations of, is this a problem to solve or is this just a tension to manage?
Yeah, and phones are incredible, right? Like she said, you're on social media, you can get stuff done, you can call somebody. I mean, you could utilize it today. The phone is so different than when I first got a phone. I remember getting in Pastor David's car and there was a phone, anybody remember this, that it could attach to the car. And then he had a bag phone that he could throw it around and it was like a man bag and you could open it up and you had a, like, we've come a long way from that. Or maybe you're like, I don't know what that is. You remember the Motorola's you could flip open and you could play Snake. Anybody? Some of y'all are like, I still remember the corded phone. Okay, we like, everybody has their own experience, but phones today are way different than they used to be. And I love this. There's a lady named Mel Robbins and there's a study they recently did. And she said that if we're not careful, what can seem small, like I was just scrolling. Hey, we sat down to watch a movie. I just wanted to check Facebook or Instagram or I wanted to get on Amazon for a moment. Next thing we know, it's like, wait, the show's over? Like, I thought we just started, and we can get entrenched in the phone. And Mel Robbins, this new study says that over the course of a lifetime, the average person will spend 20 years of their life on the phone. So if I told you today at every location, there's something in your life that's stealing 20 years of your life, would you want to change something? Like, when we talked about it, I thought it was just here and there. Pat, I thought it was just a little bit. I was like, man, I could go play a lot of golf for 20 years, and I'm not letting this phone steal it. I'm going to go do something I enjoy. So instead of allowing the enemy to steal, this is just an example of what are the little things in our life that we think are small that are really stealing our joy? What are the little things in life that are really stealing our relationships? They're stealing our time, and we maybe need to take that back. Because why? Because there's a compound effect over time.
That's right. And some things are actually a problem to solve.
Yeah.
If it becomes a problem, if there's something with the phone that's an addiction or a hunger that is being fed from that, that's something you can work together, find some accountability, get some help, especially with the community of people around you who love you, especially the church. But that's a problem to solve. But the phone in general is just attention to manage. And when we pastor couples, we hear this a lot. But we've talked about this before. But we've had this argument over and over again. We're just going around the mountain again. We're just having this conversation on repeat, on replay. Well, here's the thing. That's absolutely normal. So if you've experienced that with a friend, with a loved one, it's because we're humans. And what those are is we've grown up and learned systems and learned patterns. It's called a learned behavior. And so just because you've had one conversation about it doesn't mean it should be fixed overnight. Actually, Peter in Matthew went up to Jesus and he said, Master, how many times do I have to forgive my brother, my friend? Seven times if they've hurt me? And what does Jesus say to Peter? Jesus says, Peter, more like 70 times seven. So Peter thought seven was a big number, but Jesus knew, oh no, we're taking it 100. It's 70 times seven. And so just because we've had a conversation before doesn't mean that we don't need to revisit it and relearn some new ways of thinking and renew our mind every day.
Yeah, and if we don't really address the wall, if we don't maybe forgive ourselves, maybe you're like, well, I'm not holding an unforgiveness against somebody else. Maybe it's against yourself. You're frustrated with yourself, like, man, why'd I do that? Why'd I say that? I'm never going to get that friendship back. The business is never going to be the same. I can't get that business partner, that investor, whatever it is for you. Maybe you need to forgive yourself today. How many, raise your hand at every location. Come on, Earth City, from the front to the back. I was preaching there last week, and y'all were packed out, by the way. From the front to the back, let me ask you this. How many is your first time doing life? Raise your hand.
My first time through life, right?
Anybody
here.
Ever had two lifetimes? No, everybody. It is our first time. You got to give yourself a little grace and say, you know what? Here's what it is. It's my first time, but you can't allow the wall to get too high to where you can't get over it. Let's start to take it down. If it feels too high, well, guess what? We can start to destruct it, bring it down, break this thing down box by box. I have a thing they're going to put on the screen. See, healing doesn't always mean getting over it. It's sometimes it's about working through it. And again, when it's step by step, it's thing by thing. Well, this person hurt me, so everybody hurts me. No. It is little by little. It's case by case. And we want to keep moving. I had a friend say one time, you can't get over what you don't address. Maybe the thing today, an action step for all of us is, what are you addressing today? What's the thing we've allowed in life that we haven't addressed? Again, the small thing, but it becomes, I think it's small, but I know it's now big, is my phone. Like, man, I know I'm on this thing constantly, but if we don't have good communication, I'm not going to know that it's a big thing for her, and we won't be able to heal or move on.
All right, the next thing you should write down is, we are a team. It's not a competition. But we're very competitive people. We grew up playing sports. We grew up wanting to win. If we're walking up the stairs, hey, the person who gets to the top of the stairs first is the undeclared winner, okay? Everything's a competition. But it's not a competition when it comes to your relationships.
Yeah, it's good.
It's cheering each other on, not competing, but connecting.
Yeah. Our son, we were taking him to Faith Kids this morning. He's like, Dad, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to run over there. You can't get there before me. And I was like, we are over competitive in our household, you know. But it's amazing, though, is so many times we can look at as, you know, a competition is really meant to really make us better. Yeah. See, together we're better. And what the enemy wants, though, is he wants to separate us. Why? Because when we get in isolation, triple braided cord, the scripture says, is not easily broken. But if the enemy can get us alone, we're easier to take down than when we're together. But not only that, when he can get us separated from each other and he can get us to put up a wall around our heart, and know what? I've been hurt. I'm not going to do it. I gave church a try once. I'm not going back. It must be the church's issue. No, the enemy wants that. Why? Because the scripture also says, where two or more are gathered, he, the Lord, his presence is in the midst. Well, guess what the enemy doesn't want? He doesn't want God's presence in your midst. Why? Because there's fullness of joy. There's healing. God can do a lot in a room like this that you're in today or right there online. His presence is a key to so much in our life. Well, guess what? Of course the enemy doesn't want us to be in his presence. Of course he doesn't want us to dwell together and in the end days do it all the more. It is important to be in community. It's important to take a next step, to get on the dream team, to be in Growth Track, because when we're doing life together, we find ourselves no longer trying to figure this out alone. And this is amazing. When you get around people, you'll find out you're not the only one that there's some stuff going on with. Hey, how did you break down that wall? Hey, what did you do when you were in that situation, and we can actually learn from one another?
Well, and as a being a team, we bring new experiences to the relationship. Everybody brings something new to the table. Like, I didn't grow up with grandparents, so all of my grandparents passed away whenever I was very young. And I remember when we got married, getting my very first birthday card in the mail from your Grandma Betty and from Grammy, your Grandma Nancy. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the grandparent experience. Like, wow, they remember your birthday, got like $20. Like, this is amazing. But I didn't grow up that way. And I'm so thankful that I have them now, but I'm also thankful for the people. Like, I think about Pete and Trudy that are at our church, who are really like our adopted grandparents. Every time she comes up to me, if you ever need anything, just know we're your adopted family. We're a family of choice. But there are people that are sitting to your left and your right, right there at Fairview Heights, right there at Ferguson Florissant, who need a church auntie. They need an uncle. I think about all the incredible ushers and men and leaders at the Earth City campus who are just adopting these kids and helping them and showing them, hey, I've got your back. Here's how you do it. Aunties that are spoiling them on their birthday. But that's the beauty of community. That's the beauty of loving one another to your left and your right. And whether you feel like, well, I'm too old to make a difference. Well, you know what? Abraham and Sarah, they had a baby whenever they were like in their 80s, okay? So you're not too old. And
that
Samuel.
That doesn't mean if you're in your 80s to go try to have a baby, okay?
No, like, that's not what we're saying. But God can still use you because everybody brings something to the table.
Yeah. Something they can put on the screens is there's more than one right way to do things. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, it basically says that two are actually better than one. And Morgan and I, our personalities are a little bit different, okay? And actually, fresh example is, as we were putting this, you know, talk together, as we were going through our notes and saying, okay, hey, what is God gonna speak to us or speak through us to people? And I was like, okay, hey, I got the note doc ready. Come on, where are my type A's at? And I was like, you know, stories are in green. Okay? Our points are in blue. The scripture is in red text. I see people nodding. They're like, yes, love language, sir. Thank you. I'm very about structural pieces. And then yellow or sticky statements. And she's like, got it. I was like, okay, you put your stuff in. Then we'll walk through it together. Okay, I'm going to go grab a coffee. I come back. I'm like, how's it going? Let me pull it up. And I was like, what is this pink over here? And what is this yellow? And then it's like orange. And I was like, Can we walk through this together? I instantly was like very anxious.
Come on, you love a little bit of chaos, right?
Oh, it is attention to manage.
I'm like, let's just put the bullet points in there and just roll with it. You know, it's gonna be great.
But what I found is she's a great storyteller and a reminder of stories. So I was able to say, okay, here's structure, here's stories, here's points. Now let's not compete, let's complete. And I think many times is sometimes we can look at somebody God has brought into our lives as competition, or we can look at it and go, man, how am I going to do this? Our strengths aren't the same. No, we're not supposed to have maybe those same strengths. We're supposed to complement each other. Come on. Anybody just grateful that you can complement in the body of Christ, that we can build a community one together and that's stronger together? So when you're going through growth track, you're not trying to be somebody else. You're trying to be authentically you. Because we need you on this team. You're a part of this team. There's a place for you and a space for you to be all that God has created you to be. And what I love is when we are dwelling together, when we are in that honor aspect and we're in flanks, Mark 3:25, it says a house divided against itself can't stand. So we have to make sure we're unified together, moving in the right direction. Because if we're all just trying to, I don't like the way you're doing it. Well, I don't agree there. Or what this happened? And then we start being competitive. Well, I have a better idea. All of a sudden, then things will actually dissipate and they won't continue to build.
That's so good. And another, just a reminder, are we praying for one another? Are we praying for our friends? Are we praying for our family? Are we praying for our spouse? Because somebody told me once, and I'll never forget it, you can either pray for them, pray for the situation, or pray for yourself. Because God's either going to change them, change the situation, or he's going to change you. And so many times we've heard the phrase, you know, marriage isn't about finding the right one. It's about becoming the right one. And we would just want to encourage somebody today, if you write this down, to love out loud. Be louder with your compliments than with your criticism. Wow. As a parent, as a friend, be loud with those compliments. Yeah. People hear so much negativity on the day-to-day, on a regular basis. Be different. Give them the compliment. Give them the praise. Hey, you know what? You're looking good today. Hey, you know what? You smell good today. People need that encouragement. And if you sow that encouragement, then you'll reap that encouragement.
That's great. And if you're married or in a friendship, we heard somebody say the other day that marriage isn't 50-50. How many of you have heard that? Get into a relationship. It's like, oh, it's 50-50. No, this person said, no, it's 100-100. You have to both be all in. Bring your best self. Bring your most healed self. Bring everything you have to it. And when you bring your 100% to the job, guess what? All of a sudden, things start to happen. When you bring your 100% to the friendship, come on, if you want good friends, I've heard you have to first be a good friend. If you will be it, you'll attract it. Or the Bible says, whatever you sow, you will, anybody know? You'll reap it. So if we want friendship, let's sow friendship. If we want a good marriage, sow being all in, 100% in every area. Don't minimize. Be a team member. Don't be competitive, which leads us to the next thing, is collect memories instead of keeping score. I mean, some of us, we're keeping a tally. You did me wrong last Wednesday. And then Friday, you raised your voice at me. You didn't need to do that. You know,
just add another one right there.
Yep. And we start building that wall up again. Where does this wall come from? It doesn't just grow up overnight. Maybe it does. Maybe there's an offense that hurt really bad. Somebody did you wrong. You didn't know something was happening. But for the most part, this happens brick by brick. It happens a little by a little. And I want to encourage you today. We need to get it at the source. Let's get it before it starts to build. Right now, you're like, oh, this isn't much. Like, we can still deal with this. But let's not just live with the tension. Let's not just keep it there. Let's maybe say, hey, let's start to remove this a little by a little. We are collecting memories. Not just keeping score.
Okay, if you're taking notes online or at the campuses, write this down. History doesn't have to repeat itself. History doesn't have to repeat itself. I was thinking about we just took a very long plane ride with the boys, our very first long international flight. It was a 9-hour flight. And honestly, they were incredible. The boys did so good. And when we were on vacation, I was drinking soda, and I've stopped drinking soda. I've been trying to be good and not do sugars and cut out Cokes, and so I had a Coke on
Where's
the plane.
Where's the fun in that?
I had a Coke on the plane, and I said, okay, we're about to be back to reality. Like, this is my last Coke of vacation, you know? And so, like, I pop that top. I pour ice-cold Coke into my cup, and everybody's so calm, and the boys are being so good. And then all of a sudden, this spirit of rowdiness comes over these kids, and the boys just knock my drink completely, the whole thing, all over my lap. Ice-cold, perfect Coca-Cola. All down my legs, and I am like freezing cold. I get up, I go to the bathroom, I dry off, I come back, and Liam's 4 years old, and he's like, Mom, I just want to say I'm really sorry, but I had to tell Lennox, you know, if you mess with the bull, you get the horns, and that's what happened, okay, Mom? Spill the Coke
all over my lap. You're wondering, they get it from their mother, yes.
Hey, he comes by it honestly, okay? He's got it on both sides. The kid, just pray for us, pray for him. He's going to be a great leader someday. He's a legend. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. So I
saw
Liam
a lady over there,
that.
She hasn't written anything down, but she said, yep, if you mess with the bull.
She said, amen. And so the next flight, so we land in Charlotte, we connect, and then we hop on the next flight. It's like 2 hours. Well, we're on the next flight, and Austin looks over at me. He says, hey, babe, can you hold my drink for a second? And I looked at him, and I was like, no, I can't. And he said, no, for real, just 2 seconds, just hold my drink. And I am refusing to hold this man's drink. And he's like, why won't you hold my drink? I said, there could be turbulence. The boys could start acting crazy again. Something can happen. And I'm not doing that because of what happened on the last flight. But how many times do we refuse to help somebody, or do we refuse to let ourselves be properly loved by somebody else because of what happened back then? What are you doing over there? You being funny?
Oh, what happened? I feel like something's came between us while you're telling that story.
History doesn't have to repeat itself. Just because it happened then doesn't mean it's going to happen again.
That's good.
And I was just stuck because of fear. Because what if you don't control your thoughts can control you. And so because of fear, I was driven by, I'm not going to help you, because fear makes us live small. Yeah. Fear causes us to think small. So whenever we allow fear to rule our hearts and our minds, we minimize our life and what God can do with our life. But you can love again. Just because it happened once doesn't mean it's going to happen again. Just because you walk through it doesn't mean you have to live through it. It might be a chapter in your life, but it's not the whole story.
Yeah, I love Pastor David says, you may have not come from a good family, but a good family can come from you. And if you can make the decision today to say, I want to change the legacy, I'm going to break down the generational curse, I'm going to break down those things that I feel like are blocking my family from blessing or whatever it is, and start to rewrite the story and say, it can be different than it's been. I love this scripture in Romans 12:10. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. Maybe you've never been shown honor, but you can choose today to show honor. You can start telling people, hey, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for being here. Man, you're doing a great job. It costs us nothing to give compliments, to be the person. You ever seen somebody show up on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever social media, and they're like, hey, that's good. Come on, fire emoji. But we all have seen that person that destructs, that it's like, this is terrible. I can't believe it. Well, of course you would. Which one do you like more? You like the person that's like, I love that. Come on, it's good. Let's be that for people. We can rewrite the narrative. We can bring forth honor in that aspect. And not just that, but just because we've seen that modeled, or just because something happened once, it doesn't mean it's going to happen every time. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. We can really change the narrative on this thing, but it starts with our mindset. It makes me think of our son, Liam. And I know this last weekend I showed you, he loves to swim. The kid is a swimmer. And but he had these goggles, and we would go swimming, and he would tighten his goggles really tight. I think they have a picture if they would show it. And this kid, he had an old pair, and he'd be like, Dad, I gotta tighten them really tight, because if not, they're going to leak. And I'm like, son, you don't have to have them that tight. No, Dad, it's got to be tighter. Don't loosen them up. And he would jump in, and he'd get out, and he'd pull his goggles off. And I'm like, look at your face, you know? And I'm like, we're getting you some new goggles. No, Dad, I don't need new goggles. I'll just tighten them. We'll be good. They leak. And finally, he starts to put his new goggles on, and guess what he does? He tightens them as tight as he can. He says, Dad, I have to tighten them because they're going to leak. I'm like, no, son, these are new goggles. They don't leak. You don't have to put them on that tight. He said, no, Dad, my goggles leak. My old goggles leak. These goggles leak. I have to put them on tight. And how many of us, maybe that's how we're approaching life right now. My first business partner hurt me, so guess what? Every business, I'm never going in business with anybody else. My first marriage was tough. My first relationship was tough. I'm never getting in a relationship again because someone hurt me. Everybody's going to hurt me. No, that is something that we are allowing to be in our heart instead saying, no, 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 the history can be different. I'm going to rewrite this thing today. Come on, how many believe that it doesn't have to be the same just because one person did it? Let's show them that grace. We're going to get over it. We're going to get through it. We're going to use it. And maybe we just need to forget about it, whatever that it is, because Romans 12 and 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's daily, which the washing, the Bible says, of the water of the word. Get it in our hearts, get it in our minds, because out of the abundance of the heart, the scripture says, that's how we will live out our life. That's what we will say, and our words can be the building blocks to our life. They can be destructive, because the Bible says that our words are either death or life are in the power of the tongue. So a question would be is, what words are we speaking over? If we want to rewrite our history, if we want to speak life into someone, what words are we speaking into them?
That's so good. You know, the Bible says, Jesus is the author and he's the finisher of our faith. He's still writing our story. This is not the end. You are here. You are a once in a lifetime person. You're a once in history person. There will never be another you. Because God has uniquely crafted and created you to be in this moment of history, in this time, on purpose, with a purpose. So young person, young student, the Bible says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. If you're a person, you're well-seasoned. We don't say old in our house, so we don't say you're an old person. You have experience. You are well-seasoned. You have lived a life. You have experience. God is still using you. You're here on purpose, with a purpose, and it starts in our thought life. You know, I said it a minute ago, but I wanted to put it on the screen. Take control of your thoughts, or your thoughts will control you. I remember there was a moment a few years ago, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me. Anytime somebody compliments you, I want you to give them the thing. And I was like, wow, okay. So if someone was like, I really like your bracelet, I would give it to them. And they would be like, no, I was just saying I like it. I'm like, no, here, you take it. And I remember there was a really cute shirt somebody complimented me on. And so I went home, I washed it, and I gave it to the girl the next day. Well, this person ended up a couple years later leaving our life and left in a really hurtful way. And it was really hard. It was a hard season to walk through and get over. And I remember thinking, you know, man, I miss that shirt. I regret giving her that shirt. And then all of a sudden, the scripture came up in my heart, take captive every thought. And so I thought, where did that thought come from? That regret, that sadness, that regret, is that from God or is that from the enemy? Would God want me to regret being generous to someone else? It was a feeling. It was an it. It was valid. I thought, man, I regret that. And the reality of it is, though, God called me to be who I'm supposed to be no matter what someone else does. And so we can't change who we are. You can't change who you are based on how someone else has treated you. Yes. You have to be who you are because that's who God's created you to be. And I look back now, I'm like, that shirt is so out of style. Like, I don't miss that shirt. I laughed when I thought about it today. It reminded me of that sermon. But that was a real feeling in the moment, and that regret and that hurt was fear-based. And that's from the enemy because I thought, man, I don't want to give away for a season. I stopped giving things away. I stopped being generous because my thoughts drove my behavior. That hurt, that pain, that fear was driving my actions until I took captive that thought and recalibrated it. And that's what we have to do. What patterns are we living because of fear and because of those thoughts?
Yeah, so good. We're almost done. I want to give you this. I read this quote the other day. Freedom is not forgetting the past. It's healing from it.
So good.
And I think so many of us, maybe you're coming up and thinking in your brain like, man, but you don't know my past. You don't know what happened or you don't know what I did. But I do know this. Isaiah 43 says, forget the former things. But God says he is doing a new thing. Everybody say a new thing. And today, when we leave here today, don't just leave. Carry that on to say, you know what? I'm rewriting the history. We're teammates. It's not a competition. If you want teammates, get on this team. This is a community. This is a family. We get to do life together. And just thinking through tearing down these walls. The walls may have shown up. I don't know the size of walls in your life, but I do know this. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom, it yields patience, and it is the one's glory to overlook an offense. Let's maybe just say we're going to start fresh today. Today is a new beginning. Come on, does anybody believe that? Anybody thankful that he's still writing our story? The scripture says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. If it's not good, it's not done. And it can be, the best can't be behind, the best is still yet to come. Come on, if you read your Bible, in the end, we win. We're going to be seated in heavenly places with him. God is not done with us yet. We still have purpose, and God is still doing some things. And when we moved into our house, I remember we moved in, and there was all of these boxes. If you've ever moved, you're like, whoa, it's exciting. And then you walk in, and you're like, whose stuff is this? It's everywhere. And I remember we kept talking, like, how are we going to unpack this? This is a lot. It's a bit overwhelming. And it just kind of sat there for a minute. And finally we said, we're not just going to keep walking around. Like, you ever done that? And you just kind of move the boxes, like, you know,
it's
maybe
like
we'll put it over
deal.
In that corner.
You're like, don't even try. You're like, yeah, I can't even look at it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm already exhausted, all right, mentally. And so let's just go eat some food. And so finally, though, we said, hey, we're gonna move these boxes. It feels overwhelming. We can't do it all at once. But what if we start unpacking them box by box, thing by thing? And maybe today it's unforgiveness and you feel an offense. Well, then forgiveness takes down the offense. Maybe today you feel pride, like, well, I can't say sorry. Well, here's the thing. Humility, it takes down that pride. And maybe you feel shame or regret of something you've done or has happened to you. Can I tell you this? God's truth takes down that shame because he calls you son. Come on. He calls you daughter. He says that he has a purpose in you and for you. And then again, with us keeping score, see grace. When you have grace for yourself and grace for others, that replaces that scorekeeping. So at every location, would you just bow your heads today? We just want to pray for you. Morgan's going to pray for you here in just a moment, but I want to remind you that Jesus wasn't in the business of building walls. He was in the business of breaking them down. And that same spirit that tore the veil and it rolled away the stone is the same one who wants to break down and help you break down. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You don't have to do it in your own strength. He is there to help you break down whatever that is, whoever that is, whatever was done to you today. And we just want to pray for you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, today we pray for every single person under the sound of our voices. God, you would touch them right where they are. Break down those barriers that we've built to try to use as a defense mechanism, as protection. God, break down our walls step by step, thing by thing. We know, God, we can't do it on our own, but the only thing that we want in between us and our spouse, us and our family, us and our coworkers, our friends, the only thing we want in the middle is you, God. You are our foundation. Help us to identify when it comes up. Help us to remember we are different. We don't do things the same way the world does. We're different, God. We are Faith Church. We're people of faith. We're people of hope. We're people of joy. Help us to choose forgiveness. In your word, choose kindness and lead us, Father. I pray over every single person, God, that you would start the healing process today. As we identify what it is in our heart and we surrender it to you, every person at every campus, God, I pray, God, you would give them wisdom and direction and peace and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can we celebrate what God did today, what he's doing right now?
Come on, again this weekend, what an honor it is to talk to you. And I want to just encourage you, maybe your takeaway today is the next step of maybe getting into Growth Track and finding those right people in your life. Maybe it's getting into a small group, or really it's just saying, hey, you know what? I have a prayer request. I need some help. We're going to have our prayer teams at every location after the service at the front. But I want to encourage you, take a next step today, that the best, again, is not behind, but the best is yet to come. Come on, one more time. Can we give it up for all that God did today? Hey, as we do, we're going to check out something special that's been going on in our students in a crazy society these days. Check this out.